This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rebel, myself, Eric Wiltshire, Lee G. Banks, Rachel Brunston, and no time for Lee's celebrity story. And we are running out of time. I really do not have time for a number of stories, which means we haven't got time to talk about sucking toes or bugging the
That's
royals.
That's a good story.
But we are going on now to announce the death of the biggest Burmese python ever caught in Florida.
This actually is a horrendous story.
Why?
Yes.
Well, tell the story and I'll join in and explain why I think this is the most horrendous story. It is the most horrendous story, but it is disgusting. This bloke...
I'll tell you a story about a Burmese python.
By a snake.
I'll tell you a story about a Burmese python. My mate used
tell
to keep...
Tell this story.
No, there's a point to this. My mate used to keep one. In a... vivarium thingy, a glass, like a fishbowl, but bigger.
Nervous as well.
Yep. And one night she says, could I babysit? Because she needed to go out to see the school and something or other. Would I babysit? Yeah, okay.
Oh, I know this story.
So
Babysit?
Babysit. And I was babysitting her daughter, who was about 8 or 9 at the time.
What do you mean?
You were babysitting the python?
No. And
I thought he was. I thought he meant he was feeding it children.
So about an half an hour after she's gone out, I've looked in the cage and I've said, Danielle.
In the cage?
Well, the vivarium thing. I said, Danielle, I can't see the snake. She said, he's not there, Uncle Eric. I said, well, has he died? She said, no, Mum put it in earlier when she fed it. It must have got out. And I've gone, huh? And then I look up a couple of minutes later because I daren't move. And I look up and the entire length of this snake is... got its head above the vivarium, a whole 10 inches of snake. Was
10 inches of snake? Was you stood, must be used to that.
It was stood above the top of the thingy, and I went, oh, my God! And I phoned her mum and said, come home now, the snake's got out. She said, it's only about 10 inches long, Eric, it won't hurt you. And she had to come
that
home.
That was him on Fast Forward, ladies and gentlemen, because this story was really boring as well.
So, therefore... the biggest python ever caught in Florida has been killed. It was spotted on
this
the road.
This is disgusting.
It was spotted on the road.
It should have been captured.
Well, the thing, ladies and gentlemen, may I interject on this story? This was this bloke with his mates driving home in the dark of the night, right? I'm not saying they've been drinking. I'm not saying anything like that or anything nefarious had gone on. Well, they're driving along. There he sees a 3-foot snake, right? 3-foot snake by the side of the road. No, that's what he thought. 3-foot snake, right, sitting there by the side of the road. So he just thought, I'll nip out and have a bit of a sport with this snake. So he grabbed it anyway, ladies and gentlemen. It turned out it was 18 feet long. He kept pulling it, and it kept coming and coming.
Right, like a magician.
Yeah,
exactly, a magician. Thank you for getting me over that point.
Yes.
And
I was worried.
So it's all wrapping itself round him, right? Right, because he's not very pleased. It was having a little kip by the side of the road. And so he calls his mates and they chop its head off.
Well, it might have hurt him.
Well, they shouldn't have been playing with it in the first place.
What was it
doing? It might have started to constrict.
What was it doing laying on the side of the road where cars are supposed to go?
It was doing traffic cones.
But roads is for cars.
Yeah, it was there. It was
going
just waiting to cross. Why did the snake cross the road?
To get to the other
get
side.
Get away from this idiot who was about to chop its head off.
And now there's several pairs of shoes in a handbag.
Well, anyway.
Well, actually, you know, the only thing he could do, he could actually turn it into a suit, I suppose.
But well, no, he's going to keep the skin, which he plans to tan and put on his living room wall.
Well, I used to have a snake skin, actually, but it's... no.
So you're a murderer as well?
No, I didn't kill it. I just used some...
So you're just aiding and abetting murdering?
You're a murderer by proxy.
Yes.
I didn't do it with proxy.
Because that just bleaches the snake, I know. Right, moving along. Oh, Eric.
We have ways of making you score goals.
We have ways of making you... Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you see, Chuck jumped on my bandwagon then.
Oh no, says the headline. The new English football kit looks like the old German football kit.
Was this in the Luftwaffe days?
No.
Jerry got really long shorts.
No. Now, I have to sort of do the visual of this verbally. So, picture the scene. You've got a white T-shirt with a black emblem on the left breast area. You have a black collar beading sort of thing around your neck, again, flowing into a white T-shirt. That was the German football strip a few years ago.
Yeah, but it didn't exactly have a swastika on it and studs in the collar.
It matters not!
It's a load of rubbish, this
It
story.
Matters not! So they bought the new one out, and guess what? The what? English emblem in black on a white T-shirt is on the left breast. There
is a
black bit around your neck which flows into white, like the German one. And they've decided that's a new design and a new kit. What idiot did that?
Well, Rachel, can I ask you a personal question about Australia?
Of course.
Well, there is a new fashion in Britain, which I think is ludicrous. And it's what it is that now, even in this winter summer that we have, men generally of a certain age, mainly over 50, for some inexplicable reason, dress in shorts, like bumpers, and football shirts. And the bigger the stomachs and the scrawnier the legs, the better they think they look. Is there a kind of fashion thing like that in Australia?
Yeah.
There is. And why do you men find... Do because they're stupid. But you will find if you go to the YouTubes and look up really good 70s rock bands in Australia, and you will find 9 out of 10 of the drummers, and with all due respect to drummers, although I was married to one and he was adult. Drummers are
Birdie's
adults.
Excuse me, Rach.
They wear these football, what we call them Guernseys. Uh-huh. Australian Football League Guernseys, and 9 out of 10 drummers will wear them. And now Joe Plonker, walking down the street, always sporting some sort of jersey or other to support his or his other team.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I think it looks silly. I think it looks like is that they pretend that they play for that team.
I think that's what it is. But when you've got a 97-inch waist and you've got bigger biffers than Kerry Katona, all of a sudden, you do not look like David Beckham, gentlemen.
Is this debate going anywhere?
No, they were just getting away from this boring story about the T-shirts looking like German ones.
I like the comment from Gary Lineker. Smart move by the FA. And Nike
and
football.
And make sure it's crisp.
To go, that doesn't work anywhere else in the world apart from the UK. To go slightly German with the strip. If you can't beat them, join them. I quite agree. One of the other very upset fans says, the new England kit is absolutely disgusting.
Yes,
thought we were England, not Germany. And I quite agree. Who's the designer at Nike? What were you on?
I think it's one of Hitler's descendants, isn't it?
Probably. There's going to be an argument now. No, actually, there probably won't be.
I don't understand it.
The Google boss has been lecturing everybody about net controls, describing internet controls as digital ethnic cleaning. Idiot you are, sir. Idiot you are, sir. And funnily enough, he's made this big speech just at the time when everybody's looking into the tax affairs of Google and how much money they don't pay in corporation tax in the UK. So he comes out with another headline story, and I'm convinced he did that just to cover up the other story.
I think he probably...
Of course
he
did.
Yeah, I can't see anything.
He's going, look over here, look over here, look over here. It's that. It's boring.
But don't
it's silly.
You actually think for this man... under those circumstances, to choose such an incendiary phrase as ethnic cleansing should actually put his job on the line.
No, you can't. He can't because he's googly.
Well, actually, yeah, you're quite right. They can do and say what they want, can't
yeah,
they?
And get away
yeah,
with
they
it.
Can.
Yeah. yeah, and get away with it.
But it is shameful. Ethnic cleansing is one of the most horrendous crimes that's ever been perpetrated on this world, and it still goes on today.
Yeah.
No matter.
Yeah.
And for this idiot to use that postcard from Poprad phrase
yeah.
or word to actually try and possibly try and hide something that's going on that Google should be equally ashamed of, to then come up with a phrase and a story like this is wrong, wrong, wrong.
Yeah, and I actually think that you, sir, should literally accept the laws of the lands where you are, and if something is offending somebody in Australia, the US, Slovakia, the UK, wherever,
yeah.
You should abide by those laws and not give that content to upset people. It
I
is a fact.
Right.
Of,
everybody else has to.
Yeah, it's yep. a fact of life that different countries have different values, different standards. None are good, none are bad. It's the fact that they don't want that content. And you should recognise that and accept it. In the same way, Mr. Google, as you've done with adult content. You took it out of your search engine results, and unless somebody puts it in manually, it does not show up. So if you can do it for one group of people, you can do it for everybody.
Exactly.
Simple as that. And it's funny, you know, on the Google search now, it doesn't yeah. say the words video
okay.
at the top, no. Try it, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
I'm going to have a look now.
Yeah, when you search on Google, it doesn't say video at the top anymore. It says YouTube. And guess who owns YouTube?
Ah, it does too. Look at that.
Google.
I'm just having a look and my sound went all funny when I had a look.
It's probably because your bandwidth's
rubbish. That's atrocious. It does too.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Sorry. Wait.
What?
Sorry.
What?
And I can prove this. Mine says video.
That's because you've probably got some old browser that you haven't cleaned properly.
Your updates are a dodgy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's Delta.
Delta?
What's Delta?
I have no idea. What search engine? You're not on Google.
Don't shout at me.
You're not on Google, you plank.
Don't shout at me. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors right now. Yeah, we're all friendly and nice when we're on the air, but behind closed doors, that's how he treats me all the time.
You blank. You're not
See?
On Google.
See? He won't give up, ladies and gentlemen. Report him. Abuse on the air.
Lee, do you know what you just proved? I'm right.
What?
You know how many times I've criticised journalists who can't do tech?
Yes.
Yeah. How many? Lots of times, Rach, yeah? So now we have a former Fleet Street journalist who goes, you're not right, Eric. I rest my case. You're on the wrong engine, Lee.
Little engine that couldn't.
Yes. But it is a fact. For those of you who go onto Google, wherever you are in the world, you will
it's
find
true.
Video has been taken away. It used to be labelled as video. It's now labelled as YouTube. And I think that is despicable.
That is
I do too. And they've got maps there now, and they've got everything. They used to have like four things, and now there's a whole bunch of stuff.
Of Google products.
Yeah,
exactly. Gmail, Google Drive, got the calendar. Oh, I'm gagging on Google.
Let's Bing it to everybody.
I do use Bing, you know, and Bing is just as good as Google, really.
Are you sure you use Bing?
Well, it's like Bing
Delta.
A bong.
Bing bong.
That's what my phone does.
What?
What?
What does your phone do? Well, I know what your phone does. It lives half of its life drying out on a radiator when you dropped it in the bath.
Yeah, I've found out now, if you stick it in a bag of rice, that
yeah.
does it.
That's true.
It would do,
we
actually.
We have to put rice now in the salt here because it's so humid.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the salt won't come out the shaker.
Yeah.
Hey, really? Your salt won't come out the shaker?
This is supposed to be a news programme.
We're just doing top tips. Don't put your salt in the shaker because it'll go...
Yeah, or
I despair.
You put rice in the bottom of the
put
shaker.
The rice in, exactly. Rice does also.
My left hand is easing towards the fader at the moment.
Are you going to fade us both, so there's just you?
Probably.
It's my first fade ever.
I've never faded. You are. You
no.
are. I'm not saying that. That's
a former military helicopter pilot is to become the first US astronaut to visit the International Space Station. Major Tim Peake will live and work on the station for about 6 months. And I think that's amazing. The great British... What? What?
Mate, as a tabloid journalist, I just interrupt for a second.
David Bowie up there, otherwise Lee's going to go off his nana.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am being talked over by an Australian here.
Right.
And I am also being questioned by a Slovak resident.
Right.
And all I want to say is that as a tabloid journalist, I would dispute this story completely.
Why?
Because this bloke, as much as I admire him and have nothing against him, he's not the first British astronaut.
He's the first UK astronaut to visit the International Space Station.
Did the space shuttle used to go there?
No.
I bet it did.
It wasn't there yet.
It wasn't there every time.
I hate you again now.
I can't... are you referring to the young lady that went up in the shuttle?
Oh, no, I've done it again. He's going to tell his story about this young lady who was over his head and he kept shouting things at her down his microphone.
Oh, stop it. It's true. She was a licensed radio ham, and occasionally she would use her radio ham's equipment up in the shuttle, and if you were very lucky, you got through to her. Unfortunately, I just shouted a lot and she never heard me.
See, what amazes me about this story as well is Major Peake, who's 41, Tim Peake, I'll fill you in with the details, has undergone 14 months of rigorous training, which included survival courses. Why? What's he going to do? Where's he going to survive in a rocket ship?
It's like Bear Grylls.
It's not exactly like being stuck out in the tundra.
Come down in the tundra.
What? In space? There's a tundra in space?
When they land in Russia, they land on tundra.
He's not Russian.
They're
down in the park.
Yeah, but
they're usually met by a welcoming committee or something, aren't they?
Of wolves.
Inuit folk.
Yeah.
And he had to do exercises underwater. Well, let me tell NASA, space isn't made out of water, old chaps. It's made out of, space, isn't it?
Matter.
Right.
Yeah, matter. So it doesn't matter. Yeah, don't need to go in the water. There's no water in space. Or we'd all be swimming up to the moon.
So basically, if somebody said to you, you got a chance to go on the International Space Station, would you go, Lee?
PlayStation.
International Space Station.
Oh, sorry. I'd go, of course I would.
Would you
I'd
go, help. Rach?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and I would sing David Bowie just to annoy Lee.
Exactly.
I'd just wear a pair of shorts and a T-shirt.
That's what they do.
I'd just all cool. Yeah.
If you ever see an advert in the UK for a second-hand car that belongs to Lee G. Banks, for God's sake, don't buy it.
Right. That's it. I've kept this a secret. As a I was going to break this next week while our friend was there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. My Bentley, right, is a Bentley.
Chrysler
made Bentleys until 2010.
Right.
And mine is 2009. Mine is a Bentley. Then they moved on to make Rolls Royces.
Hang on, Chrysler made Bentleys until 2010.
Yeah.
Right? Yours is 2009.
Yeah.
That's before 2010.
So they were still making them.
Have I missed something here, Rach?
I'm not listening. What?
Okay. I despair, really, actually. I really despair. He's got a Chrysler. It was made
200,000 cheaper than a real Bentley.
Well, you just admitted it's a Chrysler, then.
It's a real Bentley made by Chrysler. And it's built on a Mercedes base thing.
Mercedes.
Yeah.
It's not on the front sheet. That's why I'm not listening.
Right,
It's like a Bentley Mercedes Chrysler.
Right, fair enough.
I'm driving around America in a Chrysler.
Are you?
With an open top.
Can you give us the registration so we can warn the police?
No, just look for this gloriously handsome, auburn, blonde, macho Sean Connery lookalike.
Right. Let's return to Google for a minute because let's go fly a kite up to the highest height.
Let's go fly a kite.
And
I've faded them. I can't cope with that. I've just had to fade them. I'm sorry. Google has acquired a US company that generates power using turbines on tethered kites or wings. Can I just make one observation here? This is what you call a large company diversifying. It's called diversifying into other areas so it can make even more money. It's got nothing to do with its core product, which is supposed to be the internet.
Which is interfering in people's lives.
So now they're going to control the power as well.
Well, it's like, yeah, and you've got those glasses, haven't you? And that car that drives by itself. You could, you know, you don't need anything else other than Google now, do you?
Yes.
No. You do.
Not according to Google.
Well, not according to Google. But no, hang on. Let's be fair. That is the same argument that could be applied to Apple as well.
Well, at least Apple's, like, you know, they also are a food source.
No, Rach.
What are Google going to do? Google fried chicken?
Rach, you're deferring the argument, Rach.
I do that, don't I?
Yes, you do defer the argument, Rach, when you're an Apple user. Basically, the only thing that hasn't come out of Apple so far is an anthem for it.
We could invent
I don't use it on a desktop. I use a regular desktop, like a laptop.
You mean with Windows?
Yeah, and but I got my iPad Mini, which I got for Christmas, so I use it because it was a gift, and if I don't use it, I might be beaten.
Oh.
I've got an iPhone, which we got for free through the company that Rob works for, so I'm an Apple user by default.
Yeah.
You could
it's
always...
the core of your life.
Right. Anyway, moving along to a story that I just cannot believe is true. The Financial Times has been hacked. The website and Twitter account of the Financial Times has been hacked, apparently by activists who support the Syrian government. Now, have I missed something here?
Well, I can't understand how something like the Financial Times, with all its clout and all its money and all its importance, could actually allow this to happen.
Well, let me just do some research here.
Okay.
A Twitter account is for tweets. Therefore, when you tweet something, anybody else that's associated to that account, their phone goes, or their computer, goes bleep, 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 and you read the tweet, don't you?
Yep.
Right. Yeah. So therefore, when Syrian idiots attack this website...
Syrian idiots.
When these Syrian idiots hack the Financial Times and put a tweet up there, surely to God, somebody in the Financial Times group of companies is monitoring at all times, 24/7, what is happening to their services, like the IT department maybe, and their phone, just like mine does here when I'm monitoring for over 16 companies, goes bibbly bip. I go, oh, not trolls again.
Oh, not those trolls.
This reminds me, I'm getting a flashback.
Are you?
A flashback?
Is it McDonald's?
Age. Yes.
No. McDonald's happened a little while ago and we were talking about the exact same thing. Somebody should be monitoring this at all times.
Mm. Exactly. I remember that, yes.
And
yeah,
I can't...
and now the idiots have done it to the finance. That's terrible
news. I know. And the truth is, Rach, it takes about 2 seconds on Twitter to set this stuff up or read it from a reader system that goes on your phone. You don't even have to be in your Wi-Fi area. It'll come through to you. It's nuts.
And any moron can use it. I use it proficiently. And I'm a known moron.
I'm not saying a word for fear of burying myself in concrete shoes. Financial Times, if you need some help, we'll come and fix it for you. But there is no excuse.
Get a stay at your local primary school to come and fix it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that would be easy.
Little kids at computers.
And this is the point where I'm now going to bow my head.
Oh, dear.
I'm getting my tissues out.
Oh, no, not this bit. I hate this bit.
I'm really sad about this one.
I am as well. I really am, actually.
I really, really are. I am. Ray Manzarek, the keyboard player and founder member of the 60s rock band The Doors, has died age 74. Reason why? I think Riders on the Storm, it's my number two track of all time. CMLE played by Pink Floyd is my number one track of all time ever. Riders on the Storm is number two, and I think it's just tragic. It was just he made the most amazing music with that band.
And he was the heart of that band.
Yes, very much so.
He was the heart of that band. I do an Australian.
Hang on a minute.
Oh God.
Wait a minute. I'm going to say something lovely now, and then you can disagree with me. I do two music shows a week, and one of them is an Australian show, and I play only Australian content. But even I did a tribute to Romance Eric in my Australian show this week and played a Doors track. And I really think he was the heart of that band. Now you may disagree.
Well, the only reason I'm disagreeing, I understand what you say. The simple fact is that Ray Manzarek's career fell apart when Jim Morrison died. The Doors fell apart. Jim Morrison really was the thing that was the glue that held that band together. And I quite like Ray Manzarek's music afterwards. I've got a couple of his albums, that even one album that he made in the 90s, but they never took off. They were never big anymore. But Ray Manzarek was a hero of the 60s. And the simple fact is, you've got to take your hat off to him. He looked like an accountant, but he lived a wild, wild rock and roll life. And he lived till he was 72, which is not a great age now. But he has left an indelible mark on this world. And that's what we should all endeavor to do.
Jim Morrison died the year I was born.
Really?
Gosh.
Yeah. So, you know.
Are you Jim Morrison reincarnated?
Stop it. We're going to say condolences to the family of Ray Hazel Hawks, so we haven't got time to talk about too much. There is hope for Lee Banks, as somebody of 80 years old has climbed Mount Everest. In Poland, they're claiming there's a man with a brand new face, claiming it's the first time it's ever been done. I don't kind of agree with that. And some police are calling for help because these little oiks broke into a house and killed the goldfish.
So it couldn't tell on them.
That's what they said.
That's terrible.
That is atrocious. That is totally atrocious.
Who does that? What is that?
I don't know. But they are now facing cruelty to animals as well as burglary.
And I've got to say hello to somebody before we go too. I've got to say hello and I love you to Bob Gallagher, and get well.
Good call. Big Kev's gone to hospital quickly. 10 seconds.
Really giant contestant from The Biggest Loser. He went as a precautionary measure because he was a bit too tired.
254 kilograms. Whoa.
Yeah. He got a bit puffed out. They sent him to hospital. He's fine.
And finally, one of the all-time greats of Saturdays in the UK, Mick McManus, has died at the grand old age of 93. Many people who watched the ITV show about wrestling in the 60s and 70s will remember him alongside his rivals, Jackie Palo. Mike was a champion of it and then went on to be a commentator with the legendary man himself, who spent just amazing sort of show. I never understood why it was stopped, but there you go. That's Postcard from Pop Rad for another week, boys and girls. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.